From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, caregiverdave.com, coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on 14 global audio and video platforms, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk, Mixcloud, Listen Notes, Blueberry, Player FM, Podcast.com, VIP Internet Radio, and Facebook Live. Hey, I'm getting quicker. And also at caregiverdave.com, voted number 2 of the top best caregiving podcasts of 2017. And we have an exciting interview planned for you today, or we did until they didn't show up. Sometimes that happens, a little miscommunication, emails that are never received, etc. But I still have my lovely co-host, founder of Adrian.
That too.
Okay, slow down here. Founder of the Caregiver Space, Ms. Adrian Gruberg. Say hello, Adrian.
Hello.
Today, Adrian and I will be talking about just things that caregivers complain about. And I think a couple of shows ago, we did the five top complaints about caregivers. And we may go over some of them again, because we're going to just not even use notes. We're just going to go by the seat of our pants or by whatever is in our brain, whatever memory is there or isn't there. So before we do, I want to thank last week's guest, Carol Marek. I got to pronounce that right. Carol Marek, founder of the Elder Orphan Facebook group and has become the authority in the aging alone and solo aging population. All right, so as an example, I posted a caregiver tip on my Facebook page, Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver. And so this says, know you are blessed to have another day with your loved one, because one day they won't be there. Now that's a deep thought, right? So
yeah.
And so, you know, what kind of comments do you think people would put on that? For example, Deborah, I won't give last name, says, yeah, and ever since moving my mom to a memory care facility, my phone has been deadly silent. I didn't imagine that my phone would go dark and silent so quickly. I miss her phone calls already. So it's like, be careful what you wish for, huh? Connie says, I wish we still have our daughter back. She died in her sleep after 22 years taking care of her after auto accident. That's sad. It's almost 4 months now and she's been gone. And then my mother will be, this is from Karen, my mother will be 101 years old this Friday, and we're very blessed to still have her with us. Elizabeth writes, I would give anything to have my dad back. And that's the kind of stuff that's in there, because
yeah,
I got everybody thinking. You're blessed to have another day with your loved one, even though they may drive you crazy, even though they're causing you to not get enough sleep, even though you wonder if this is ever going to end. Don't worry. One day it will end, and you may be sad that it did.
Yeah.
I used to listen to Dr. Laura Schlesinger all the time. You
yes.
know her. And there was a caller, and I'll never forget this call. I mean, it was like 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. But she said, somebody called in and said, oh, my husband, he clips his toenails in the bathroom, and they're all over the place, and it drives me crazy. I tell him, don't clip your nails in the bathroom, or pick them up and put them in the, and then, you know, I'll see the nails, and I'll pick them up, and I'll go over, and I'll shove them in his face. I says, look, remember we had this conversation, and she's pulling her hair out. She's really, really stressed out about this. Almost left him over it. But one day, he died. And she called back on the show. And you know what she said? She said, Dr. Laura, I would give anything to see those toenail clippings on the TV. Anything. So I just want to tell all you people out there who are frustrated with stupid things, remember what really matters. What do you think of that?
Remember what really matters. Yeah, absolutely. I know Steve wasn't perfect.
Who is?
No, of course not. And I just like this woman missed the toenail clippings. I mean, there are things that he did that I sorely missed. That I still, I still miss. And things that happen. I hear a song on the radio, and it's like just a hello from him. I'm still
Hello,
here.
is it you I'm thinking of? Sorry, couldn't help myself.
No, it's an ongoing part of grief, I think. Those little things will always still be there. And I mean, that's one of the reasons that it's going to be so hard for me to move from my apartment is that
Memories.
I'll be leaving so much of that, but I will be creating a world for the first time that's mine.
And all those memories, don't worry, are pressed between the pages of my mind.
Yes.
I'm so My daughter makes fun of me because every time something is said, I will find a lyric that goes with it and I'll sing it. She says, cool. Can't help myself. I'm a karaoke junkie.
Yeah.
You remember Helen Fraser? She was on the show. She called in two, three shows ago. Remember?
Yes.
She says, "Say a prayer, Dave. Mom does not have long with us. He turned to the worst. I have a partner, but he cannot walk either. He does help keep me upbeat with all the things that are happening to me." Well, thank God
Yeah.
for partners, huh?
Right.
Yeah, I was going to tell a story and I forgot what it was. It had something to do with what we were talking about. What were we talking about?
We were talking about toenail clippings.
Oh, yes, thank you. I'm so concerned about my memory because I forget a lot of things, but everyone says that's normal,
It's
our brain
normal.
cells are dying. When you should worry is when you, not when you forget something, but when you can't remember what you forgot. Because we ultimately, eventually remember
It
what we were
comes
trying to,
back.
yeah.
Yeah.
That means it's there, it's just misfiled a little place. But when you have Alzheimer's or dementia, it goes down this black hole, never to be seen again, and you never remember it again. And so that's when you should be concerned. And fortunately, I haven't had any of those experiences yet. But what I was going to say was that my wife, I guess I'm not perfect, complains about me and
Really?
that I leave my clothes that I take off wherever I happen to be, And it just frustrates her like the toenail clippings of the other guy. And she can't talk or express herself. She communicates the best she can, so she gets extra frustrated that
She has to pick up after you.
yes. And so I told her, honey, don't worry. Someday you won't have to pick up my things, and you're going to wish that I left my clothes all over the house so that you can pick them up, like Dr. Laura said. And she gives me this look. And walks away.
Yeah, no, I understand that too. Sure. And there are a lot of men that are like that. The women are constantly cleaning up after. Oh, when my father has it started with prostate cancer, then it became lung cancer. Ultimately, it went to his brain. And my mother called me on a Saturday night. Steve was actually doing a television show at the time. He was on the air.
Really?
And I had an emergency call from my mother that my father was behaving violently,
Really?
which upset me, but he was also just dropping his things wherever he wanted to. So,
That was not like him.
well, not with her in the house. No, she was the staff sergeant. She made sure that everything was the way it was supposed to be. So I felt when I heard that he was just acting out, that he was doing things that he'd wanted to do all along.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And now he was free to do it. And I would say about 2.5 weeks later he passed, but because it had gone to his brain. But I think men are more hardwired to do that than women.
You think?
I at least keep my things. If I drop something, I at least drop it in the closet, you know.
Yeah, I have a problem. You know, everything should have its place and a place for everything, and that way you will always be organized, you know.
Yes.
And I'm always cleaning up after myself, and it's great because it looked like a mess, looked like a cyclone hit it. My car is the same way. And then it slowly starts with one item, and then another item, and then another item, and I'll look and I'll say, no, 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 that's not going to happen again. I'll put them away. But somehow something happens, like we have to go away and just throw everything on my pool table. And it happens again and again. I was going to clean it up yesterday. This is, we're talking about being unorganized and being organized. Caregivers are so unorganized as a rule. And so I looked at it and I just didn't know where to start. You know, it's like, okay, I'll start with this. And then I'm holding it and I'm looking around, okay, where do I put it? And I end up putting it somewhere else. I'm just moving this
just
stuff from one
it.
Place
You're
to another.
It.
And I said, what's it? So I opened my filing cabinet to file something, and my filing cabinet is so packed I can't get anything in there. So I said, okay, that's got to be cleaned out first. So yesterday I spent, oh God, an hour and a half just going through every single file from A to Z. I don't need this. I don't need this. Look at how much space this is taking up. Okay, so now my filing cabinet is probably got rid of half of the stuff in there. So now I can
fit stuff
in there.
Did you get rid of it, or did you put it
in the
trash. Record boxes?
In the trash. If I think I'm not going to need it again, then I just throw it away.
Toss it, yeah.
And I try to say, if I haven't touched it in 1 year, then we probably don't need it. And if you do need it, maybe you can go to the store and buy it really cheap because it's taking up space. And, of course, 1 week later, you always say, oh, I need that thing. Where is it? Oh, I threw it away.
Right, right.
So, well, go to the store and buy one. They're not that expensive, so I do. And it's just... We're such hoarders, you know?
I know that I mean, this is a tip for anyone, of course. I need to have my taxes from 2017 taken care of by the 15th.
Yes, and I got to mail mine by the 15th, too.
Yeah. So I have all of my bank statements, and I realize...
Use QuickBooks, something like that?
Use QuickBooks. And yeah, I realized that, you know, from my American Express and bank statements, I don't have to keep them. The bank keeps them. I can get them whenever I need them.
Well, I wouldn't trust that because sometimes I request even a copy of a check from the bank and I click on the button and it says, sorry, this check not available. And
no. I did have to give American Express a day's notice for them to be able to get the info, but they have it.
As long as they don't have some major crash or fire and all their records are burned. Hopefully they're backing it up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's good. And taxes, I mean, I just wish that we can just do our taxes on a little postcard and say, okay, here's the money I made. I'll pay 10%. Leave me alone. I don't have to pay a CPA thousands of dollars. You know how much it costs to do my tax return?
Well, you won't
believe
mine.
I'm personal. I have a corporation. I have an LLC. And he just gets, I don't want to, he might be listening.
Do you have a 501c3?
I don't. I've considered getting one. Tell me the benefits for and against. How expensive is it? How much work is it?
That you can ask people for money. You know, I mean, it becomes a charity.
Has anyone given
you money?
It's
not a charity now; it's a business. There's nothing wrong with the way that you're doing it as a business. It's just that you need a board of directors, you need to have meetings, you need to have statements.
We have those anyway with any corporation.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you don't have it with, I don't imagine you're incorporated in what you're doing here.
I have a corporation that this all goes into, yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
It was originally from the gas station. Now I have a partner, so we formed a separate corporation for the partnership, and I still had my corporation, and so that's just the throw everything in that one, you know, my enterprises. So yeah, anyone who doesn't have a corporation, in my case it's an S corporation, is just wasting tax money. You know, there are so many expenses that you can deduct legally as a corporation, because I guess every congressman has a corporation, so they made sure, that you can save taxes by owning a corporation, and only someone who's not smart would not. There are just so many things, and you know, the laws are written in such a way that if you are doing something that's tax deductible, let's say you go to a conference, okay, in Santa Monica.
Tax deductible.
Everything that you do at that conference, I believe it is, don't quote me, but 24 hours before and 24 hours after is deductible. And that means even if you go to a restaurant, even if you go on a tour, I know that sounds really strange, but the fact that if it happened within 24 hours of the event, now ask your CPA, because maybe the laws have changed, but that's my understanding. And so that benefit is amazing. That's called entertainment and travel and entertainment.
Travel and entertainment.
Right. So apparently it's okay to entertain yourself when you travel for business purposes.
You can go to a concert. You can do, it's called T&E, Travel and Entertainment, and you don't have
to be incorporated.
Wait a minute,
I thought T&E. That's T&A, sorry, I thought that
no,
meant.
No, T&E.
I know, you know what T&A means, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
B? Yeah.
Okay.
No, T&E.
Yes.
You can do that on your... without being incorporated, but you damn well better be able to back it up.
True, true. Corporation helps the commingling, because they don't like when you commingle one account with business and personal.
Right.
They just assume that you're just trying to cheat them. But if you just keep it all on one side, or one credit card for business, one credit card for personal.
Exactly.
They like things separated.
Right.
But like I said, you know, figure out a way where you're just not so into our business, you know, and some people are lying, some people are cheating, you know, just to save taxes, and it's not necessary. You can just, you know, use a postcard, a flat tax. Who was the guy, DuPont, or was it somebody else was running on flat tax? Maybe Trump will do it. I mean, if anyone can do anything, Trump can. He seems to get things done for some reason. He's gotten more done in 2 years than any president has had in 16 years. And we know
Let's
there's only
not
one
talk
president.
About politics.
Oh, what were we talking about politics? Sorry. I was just talking about getting things done. Love him or hate him, he gets things done. That's what I was saying. Okay. Moving on to other caregiver issues. You know what my goal is, Adrian? To be able to go to the White House one day and on behalf of caregivers and be able to fight. Just like we had, what's her name on the air? What was she doing? It was the one who rang the bell at NASDAQ. What was she doing? Her cause. It was something. Oh, see our memories.
I have to go back to my notes.
Whatever it is.
I rely on my notes. Instead of remembering, I write it down. I think I have, you know, the same dream.
Yeah.
I dream of a caregiver walk or a caregiver race.
Yeah.
But I'm aware it's not going to be caregivers that are out there, because they can't be.
Right.
They will be at home with
loved
the
ones
that
of caregivers.
Taking
Everyone
care
knows a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be the loved ones of a caregiver. You know,
loved
everyone knows a caregiver.
Caregiver.
Everyone knows someone going through cancer. Everyone knows someone who's a caregiver.
Absolutely.
And I've accomplished so much in the last 14 months that I never thought was possible. I mean, if they told me I'd be doing this 14 months ago, I'd say, yeah, right, I'm going to be an astronaut, go to the moon. Huh? But why not? Why can't I have that as a goal? Because so far, every goal I've ever made has come true. So God's put that vision in my spirit, and by golly, I'm just going to go for it. I am going to speak before Congress. I'm going to speak at the White House. I mean, other people less important, less talented, less smart than me have done it. Why not me? It's like telling your little girl, you can be president of the United States someday. Okay, I will be. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said, and there are too many people that need to listen. And not an, as I said, during regardless of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, it didn't matter. The word caregiving never came up in the national election.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was criminal.
Yeah, and all it's going to take is one politician or one, you know, head of the Judicial Committee or something whose wife comes down with dementia, and all of a sudden they understand about caregiving. Like these producers that I run into, either they get it because they know somebody who's going through it, or they're like 23 years old and they're like clueless. It's like, what's a caregiver? How, the way I was when I became a caregiver, it just goes right over your head, and you can't get anywhere. You can't get to first base with them. So let's take a break. It's a good time for it.
Okay.
It's about time. So why don't we just...
I'm going to go run and get my list of
good for
complaints.
You. Good. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. Available everywhere.
Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to DAVE, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. Join Dave and his guests now as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and Dave Nassani. And I was just on Facebook, Adrian. This thing is not going, even though it's saying it's going. So go ahead and say what you were going to say. I'm just going to stop it and start it over again. Nothing will happen with us, just Facebook. So.
Oh, what was I saying? I was just getting a list.
You said you
list.
Were going to go get the...
I got a list. Now it says it stopped.
Well, I still had to stop it because it said it was going. Now I'll do it again while you're talking. You said you were going to go get the complaints of caregivers, right?
Warning signs of stress.
Yeah.
Caregiver stress. I'm going to be at a conference in New Jersey in a couple of weeks. And most of the people that will be there, it's not going to be huge. Most of the people that will be there are people who run respite care centers.
Uh-huh.
Or daycare centers for, the elderly or people who, this is primarily directed at people with dementia. And the woman that I'll be presenting with has given me a list of what she has found to be the top complaints as far as the warning signs of stress.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is denial about the disease and the effect on the person who's been diagnosed.
Yeah.
I know the caregiver saying, I know mom's going to get better. I don't know if that is, I don't believe that's honest. I don't think there may be people who immediately think that, Oh, yeah, mom will get better. But anyone who's sort of with it and knows anything about Alzheimer's and dementia is knowing that this is just the start of it. But I would be stressed out about the fact I know that this is not going to get any better. This is just the beginning.
Yep. Absolutely right.
The next one she has is anger. Well, you would know about this. Your mother-in-law is in denial. It's not it's not her, you know.
That is for sure.
Yeah. The fact that the person who's the caregiver is just angry that there's no care that exists for this yet, and there's no effective treatment, and people don't really know what's going on. I don't know if that's entirely true, but what she has here is, if he asks me that question one more time, I'll scream.
Yeah.
And I certainly understand that. I find the elderly will say things over and over and over again, and they will ask the same question several times. I don't think it's exclusive to Alzheimer's or dementia. I think it's just something that may be worse with it, but is part of the aging process.
Yeah. Very true.
And then one of their complaints about stress is social withdrawal from friends and activities that once brought them pleasure. And that I see. I mean, I can really see that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care about getting together with these people anymore. Sometimes it's too much work. Sometimes all they ask about is the other person, you know, the person they're caring for.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem with this is a lot of these people tend to disappear very quickly.
Yeah.
They're not a support system. And quite frankly, you know, the few people that were there for me would visit me, would call, we'd have lunch. They were there. There were three people that were consistently there for me. But it's not like, you know, girls' night out. It's a whole different kind of thing. I find, as somebody who's a survivor of my husband's death, that's when you need the people that disappeared, and they're hard to find. They've sort of disappeared out of your life.
And, you know, Charlene had so many friends when she had her stroke, and after 22 years, guess how many people still come by to see her? One blessed soul. And thank God for her. And, you know, they just dwindle down because they feel uncomfortable. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. They just are uncomfortable. So there should be talk about how do you talk to a caregiver? You know, how do you help a caregiver? How do you make a caregiver, you know, how do you not feel uncomfortable around a caregiver? What do you think some things make caregiver friends uncomfortable? Can you think of that? I remember, can you hear me okay? I lost your sound, Adrian. I cannot hear you. Can you hear me? Check your audio. Can you hear me? You can hear me? So it's your audio. Check your... Did you mute yourself on the little button on your thing? Nope. plagued with technical difficulties. Is it me? Is it me?
Is it better?
There, that's there. What'd you do?
It was the button on the side.
I told you, it's the mute
button.
Okay.
So what I thought you meant the mute button on the screen.
No. So what were you saying about...
Some of it has to do with the caregiver asking for what the caregiver wants and needs.
Oh, yeah. Feeling uncomfortable.
I'm feeling uncomfortable. Depending on who's there for you,
right.
You know what you can and can't ask. I know that I kept my friends as a cancer-free zone. I mean, they knew that Steve was ill. They knew that I was caregiving. They knew all of that, but they were my one link to normalcy.
Right. Yeah, I always tell people, don't dump on them. Don't tell them what a rotten day you had. Don't tell them, you know, the things that Steve was going through and this and that.
No.
They really don't want to hear that. They just want to have fun with you, which is great because you need to have fun with them. And so I remember before Charlene ever had a stroke, there was this other guy in our church who was a great guy. He was vice president of Carnation Marketing, and everybody knew him, and he was funny. He had us over his house. And he had a stroke, just like Charlene. He could not speak. He could say a few words. And I just remember feeling very uncomfortable around him. You got about 60 seconds to say all what you can say. And then, you know, you don't know what else to say. And I just remember avoiding him, even though I loved him, even though I would say my 60-second stuff. But past that, I felt very uncomfortable. I didn't know how to interact with him. And so I can understand how all of Charlene's friends dwindled down to nothing because they probably felt uncomfortable too.
Yeah, well, that's the patient. You and I are talking about how caregivers relate to their friends.
Yeah.
And how we sometimes it's a matter of, I don't want to put this on them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to ask for help. I can do it all by myself.
Yeah.
And that is a big part of the caregiver's problem is they'll only let me do it. I'm the only one that can do it.
Right.
No matter what you say, you can't help me. That doesn't mean that they can't go out and buy groceries, that they, you know, that they couldn't have arranged for a housekeeper to come in to help you one day a week every now and then. I mean, people start to shut themselves down from all the possibilities that are out there. And I don't care how many books are out there. I don't care how many times people will see us talking or anyone talking about this. They are hell-bent that they're the only ones that can do it.
Yeah, and what you said got me thinking about, okay, well, how did I interact with his caregiver? And that was his wife. And there's a lot of responsibility on caregivers because she was not very open. I would ask her, so how are you doing? You know, how is he?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he's fine. Oh, he's fine. You know, I'd always get the pat answers, the short answers. And when I would ask probing questions, you know, I never got them answered. So she wasn't a very open woman. I think she was a very private woman. And so she wasn't going to let me know.
But did you ask her how she was?
I did on occasion ask her, how are you doing?
That's what caregivers need to hear because everybody's always asking about the patient.
But I was getting the pat answer, oh, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine.
Right,
even though
right.
I hear from her kids, who are adult kids.
She's tearing her hair.
Yeah, that she wasn't fine. So she wasn't going to be public about her not being fine. So, you know, you can't help someone who doesn't want to be helped, and you can't bond with someone who doesn't want to bond, you know?
You know, it's really, I remember, you know, just watching movies from the 50s of people showing up from next door with a meatloaf or a casserole, or nobody does things like that anymore. Yeah,
nobody makes meatloaf anymore.
but people do not. People don't help in quite the same way. Number one, people are much busier than they used to be.
Uh-huh.
Just practically, it's a fact of life that in order for them to survive, their lives are more difficult than they used to be.
Uh-huh.
And they can't be as friendly and forthcoming as they might have been in the days when all the wives sat on the stoop and all the husbands went off to work. That's not the way things are anymore. The wives go off to work, too.
Yes, that's so true.
It's a whole different world, and I think that's why in our community, we have to get people to start volunteering a little bit more, because there's food for seniors, there's food for people who are sick. Nobody is catering to the caregiver and their families yet.
Right.
Because I'm sure that there are many, many caregivers who would be very grateful to have two meals delivered a day for dinner.
You think? Yeah.
You think?
Or pizza. Just go and buy a pizza.
Or pizza. I mean, the number of, just the pure numbers, which people don't seem to be able to comprehend.
Yeah.
The pure numbers are startling and overwhelming and almost crippling. Because it's like, okay, now I know I can't do anything for these people other than what I'm doing. You know,
right.
I can't start a bank and take in money and start. How do you decide who's going to get the money? How do you decide who's worthy? You know, who's the hardest case? It's very difficult.
Yeah.
So I can only be there for everybody.
Yeah. There's a lady, Magdalena, who's watching, and I encouraged her to call in, left the number. But I don't know if she's shy or not. All she has to do
is... Don't be shy, Magdalena.
All she has to do is dial 888-240-2560 and then punch in the ID number.
Oh, we're easy to talk to.
804-607-919. I wrote it down on the post. So anyone out there who's listening, don't be shy. If you're a caregiver, you've got some frustrations. You've got some questions. You've got some problems. You've got some things that you want to vent. Get it off your chest. You know, anyone who keeps things inside, it like rots the bones. You know, that's what causes cancer. That's what causes ulcers. That's what causes colitis. Get it out. It's like flushing the toilet, you know, just vent.
Vent.
And then you feel so much better. You know, when my wife was frustrating me so much, I had to sit down and I wrote her a letter. And it was a letter saying, you know, I'm not feeling any love. I'm not feeling any appreciation. I don't think I can be with you anymore. I'll take care of you financially, but I can't be with you.
Right.
I felt great after I wrote it.
Yes,
I felt like
wrote
a piece
it.
Of crap if I gave it to her, so I didn't give it to her, but I just filed it away. It's still in this filing cabinet. I was just reading it the other day, and I took a picture of it, and then on one of my talks, it was on the PowerPoint. I says, this is the letter. This is the actual letter I wrote my wife.
I mean, for me, it's journaling.
Yeah,
being able, it doesn't have to be that letter. You can write it as a letter if that's more freeing. You know, if you're writing it directly to the person that you're taking care of, that you're penting up all this anger about, then by all means write a letter. But journaling and just any kind of writing in itself just gets it out of you instead of it festering inside. And you don't have to be a good writer. I mean, when 12-year-old little girls were writing in their little diaries, their pink diaries with the little locks on it, they can't write, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are a couple who could, but I mean, they're talking about their experiences and what they're going through and you know, teenage angst and bullying and all the different things that are going on. Get it out. And some people do it in the morning. because they wake up angry and they just write what they're feeling early to freshen themselves. And then some people choose to unload at night. I unloaded at night.
Veronica has a question. She says, as a caregiver, I hate when people say to me, well, at least you still have your parents. How should I respond to that, she says. Veronica, give us a call. Let's
talk some more. At least?
Yeah, at least you still have your parents. So I'm assuming that you're caring for your parents, Veronica. Give us a call and clarify.
Clarify, yeah.
As I told you what the number is, right? I'll put it down again for you. The number is 888-240-2560. 888-240-2560. And you got to punch in a 9-digit number, 804-607-919. So give us a call so we need more information to answer your question. We want to answer it.
I mean, sometimes it's depending on the condition of her parents, if she's caring for two people who don't know who she is anymore. It could be awful.
It's like telling, okay, I'm caring for my parents. They're elderly. They're driving me crazy. They fight with each other. I don't know if this is the case. I'm just making up a story here.
Yeah, sure.
They don't know who I am. And, I have to change their diapers. And I told my friend about all this. And you know what she said? Well, at least you still have your parents.
Yeah, well, at least you still have them.
How do you respond to that?
Yeah, how do you respond to it? There's no, you know,
that's like one of the dumb things that
I
someone
see.
Could say.
I understand. I understand. No, you don't understand. If you haven't been there, you don't understand. You know, even if you're that one degree of separation that I believe that everybody has with a caregiver, you don't know unless you're it, you know.
That's for sure.
It's not easy. Veronica, give us some more information. We want to help you.
Yeah. You know what's really tough is when you're caring for your parents and there's that role reversal, you know. All of a sudden, they are children. They are acting like 6-year-olds. They're, you know, like the terrible twos, right? It's no, 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 no. Everything's no.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you are the parent and they're the kids. And they don't like that. You don't like that. But unfortunately, you have no choice because somebody's got to be an adult in the room, right?
Right. And it doesn't have to be that they have Alzheimer's or dementia. Sometimes
it's just stubbornness.
Sometimes it's just blatant stubbornness. Like, no way am I going to go out on the porch and sit in the sun. You know what I mean? Huh? Why not? It's unthinkable to us that such a little thing would become a point of argument, but these things happen.
Come into the world in diapers and you leave the world in diapers.
It's a sad situation.
You hope not. You can hope all you want.
I know.
Only the good and the lucky. No, I'm not going to say that.
No. No.
I'm not going to say that. All right. Well, let's take another break, and that'll give some people a chance to try to figure out how to call in. So we'll be right back. Do not go away, okay? I'll talk to you soon.
Welcome, caregivers. Thank you so much for finding your way to our community of loving and supportive caregivers. We as caregivers understand and know the day-to-day feelings of guilt, fear, and loneliness. But guess what? There is hope. I, Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, along with my team of experts and caring caregivers, have made this site just for you. We are a community of caregivers that understands and supports you wherever you are in your journey. We are a place to connect with other caregivers, but more importantly, a place to get practical, actionable help. There are lots of ways for you to get support. First of all, you can download our Welcome Pack. This will get you started on your Thrive journey. Next, you can ask and get answers to your questions by posting them here in our private Facebook groups. You can also get live online support by attending one of our live weekly Connect webinars. You can get practical, actionable advice by listening to our weekly podcast. You can hear and read other stories about other caregivers' experiences. Plus, add your own in our weekly Share Your Story forum, posted every Tuesday in the Facebook group. You can access essential resources and download practical Thrive Solutions packs, all of which are geared to help you thrive as a caregiver. We know funds are tight, so we offer all of our individual Thrive Solutions packs. Or for even a better deal, you can get lifetime access to all of our resources. Again, we are here to support you and help you thrive and to enjoy your life as a caregiver. And remember, this is a place to get hope, not just cope.
I didn't even realize we're running out of time. We've only got about five more minutes. Time flies when you're having fun, huh?
Yeah.
So how is the caregiver space doing?
Caregiver space is doing very nicely. Yeah. Had a slight change in format, but the guts of it still there.
What kind of format?
Well, it's just visual. It's just a visual graphic. We reworked the space so that some of it's easier to use.
But it's easier and easier and easier. That's your goal. And
that's the goal, to make it easier and easier and easier as it gets deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
And to really focus on audiences that are not getting the kind of help they need, like young caregivers that are grossly neglected. So
we have a caller before we sign off.
She signed off.
Oh,
no, I didn't.
Oh, no, there you are. Hi,
so,
what's
your name?
This is Veronica.
Yay!
Hi, Veronica. So did we get it right about your parents?
Yeah, it's like that. I have two parents, and they're both in dire straits, which has me in dire straits. I don't know if dire straits is the right word, but quickly, I was caregiver for my 87-year-old blind father who has a diagnosis of cancer, and he was living in another state. And I moved him in with me 2 years ago, so he was living with me. And I also stay in close proximity to my mother, who suffers through neuropathy and COPD. So upon taking care of my dad, you know, before I moved him here, I was traveling quite a bit. And I ended up being downsized from my job. But fortunately, I had enough years of service to retire. Uh-huh. Which helped out quite a bit because it was very hard taking care of him, trying to work a full-time job, also being a single mother and considerably a young, considerable mother, I like to consider myself. So a lot of times in dealing with my parents, there is a lot of emotion involved because you're helpless. You can't help them with what their conditions. You can only help provide the care for them. And then I'm between two parents. It's a struggle with that. I'm the only girl and it all falls on me. And I feel
guilty
trying to take time for myself, trying to take time for my son, trying to, you know, be the only person that's responding. And then when you try to talk to people about what's going on, about your struggle or whatever you might be dealing with, they'll give you that, well, at least you have that, your parents. And so that just shuts me down then because
that's a dumb thing to say, but
I don't
know, they're not doing it on purpose. They just don't know.
I'm very grateful for my parents, but if you don't know this struggle, it just shuts me down. So I guess I'm looking, how do I respond to that? Because I don't want to get into an argument with somebody who may have lost their parents and I can understand what they're going through or what they've been through, but they don't understand my struggle as well. Cause I think I've sacrificed a lot. I get lost in my own identity, and in dealing with both of my parents, it also puts me in a constant state of questioning, you know, of just wondering about my mortality, you know, which is also very disheartening because I am a single mother and I am raising a child alone. And I don't want to be constantly thinking about death and dying because I'm in the face of this all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Respond, Adrian.
No, well, I mean, you have to be hopeful about yourself. Are you taking care of yourself to the best of your ability?
I have set out on that path. I am exercising self-care. I am exercising boundaries. I cannot do it all. And so, yes, that is because I was starting to deteriorate myself. I was dealing with stress-related illnesses and stuff like that. So, yes, I have been trying to take better care of myself.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Where are you getting your support?
Well,
besides here, right here and right now, besides
here,
that.
Here, some Facebook pages, reading. I've started trying to exercise, yoga. I do have some friends that have my ear that are supportive, you know, and that helps. And I do go to therapy. I have a therapist that
good,
I'm seeing.
Good.
And the emotional toll and the physical toll and the demands. You know, my mother is very, I hate to say, she has illness, but she has also hypochondria. Everybody is supposed to just stop what you're doing with her issues. And that's the path that she takes with me. She'll call me at 8 o'clock in the morning. I need to go to the emergency room. I need to go to the doctor.
There are a lot of time.
And so it's like, I can't even plan a day.
She'll be like the boy who cried wolf one day.
Yes, and I told her that. I said, and she's like, I don't think I'm crying wolf, but you are.
She's probably
afraid. Yeah, she is. And I try to understand it from both perspectives. You know, from my father's perspective, he's blind. He has trust issues because he can't. And he's been recently placed into a nursing home on hospice. And I hate to say that I have some relief because he is getting all the care that he needs and is taking some of it off of me. But I went through a very guilt. So guilty that he was going into a nursing home. But I just could not give him the 24-hour care that he needed. And as a man, there was only so much that he wanted from me anyway daughter.
Yeah, you know, some people make these stupid promises. I'll never put you in a nursing home, where they make you make those promises. You got to renege on that. Just say, I will take care of you the best and get you the best care that I can.
Yep.
Because one day they will need 24-hour care and you are not capable of doing it. It will kill you if you try, and many people try. But you have nothing to feel guilty about.
No, and the guilt is something that they put on you. That you take upon yourself after they give it to you, and you do not deserve it.
Well, it also just have come from years of catering to my parents. You know, the way I grew up catering to my parents, I've always catered to my mom. My dad did move away, and he hates that, you know, he blames me for bringing him back here, you know, bringing him to take care of me. So he's mad that he's even here, you know.
Well, you wouldn't be able to help him if he wasn't here.
And that's at the end of the day, pretty much how I lost my job. He lived 900 miles away. I had been down where he was like 4 times in 2 months, and I still was a single mom. And I know I used FMLA and all of that, but when it came time to make the budget cuts, of course, I'm the weakest link. So I get cut. But like I said, unfortunately, I was able to say, okay, well, I'll retire. But I'm just 54 years old. So
yeah,
I wasn't really able to enjoy my retirement benefits because they're set for somebody who's 65.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day,
finances okay now or no?
Well, I'm trying to go back to work now. Now that he's in a nursing home, which helps, but my mom still is very close and requires a lot from me. But I'm trying to go back to work.
Well, be sensitive when you believe that she reaches the point where she needs to be in a facility that you're not able to. Care for her, because sacrificing one life for another one, you know, a 54-year-old for, how old is she?
My mom is 80. My dad is 87. Yeah. My mom is 83.
No, nobody wants you to sacrifice your life. I mean, it's one thing to throw your body
front
of a car. Well,
she'll say that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm serious, because now that my dad is in a facility, I can see she's starting that, well, we need to live together, or you need to live, live together thing, you know, and I can't do
How
that.
How about her in the same facility he's in? That way they'll be together, or are they divorced?
No,
They're divorced, and she just probably wouldn't even.
Well, you know, we were just talking about how exes take care of each other. Maybe there's something going on there.
No, because I moved him here with me for the last 2 years, I really believe her expectation is that I will move her in now that he's,
kind of help are you getting from the siblings, financial or any?
I have one sibling who doesn't respond at all. And that is a great stressor for my mom because she's concerned as to why the sibling doesn't even call or come around, and stress aggravates her illnesses. And then I'm having to deal with her illnesses related to stress that she's having about her sibling. I mean, that's her son. I mean, I can understand that. And then I have another brother, and he works, and he's supportive as much as he can. I mean, he works and has a wife and a family, but you know, I'm the daughter, so it's looked on as if it's me, my responsibility, you know, such a great honor for me to be able to take care of my parents.
So why do you think the one sibling, the first one, doesn't come around?
I have no idea. He has his own issues.
No clue, huh?
You know, and I can't speak for him.
Does he have kids?
I think it's totally unfair, but you know, I can't.
Does he have children?
He has grown children and grandchildren, and he doesn't have a relationship with them either.
Mm.
Well, gee, I wonder who's going to take care of him when he's 85 years old.
It's his wife, you know, because that's all his response. They work. They have to go to work. They don't have time to do anything. They work.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for your situation, Veronica.
Yeah.
Veronica, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, okay, Veronica. And it's a common one. You're in the same boat. So all we can do, this won't last forever. One day, we were talking earlier on the show that, you know, you won't be a caregiver. And some people are happy about that. Some people become depressed about that.
Yeah, so, I've fought with the depression and the stress. I still think I battle with some depression regarding it. Because,
yeah.
I said, there's so much that's not in my control. When I had moved my dad here, you know, I knew my dad had been blind and he had lived on his own, very independent man. And it was hard for him to move here and to give up his independence. Well, I didn't try to take his independence, but to just see him in his blindness, I had never really saw that. And that was very emotional and hard for me. I altered my house. I altered, you know, I would let, he had a caregiver come in that would do the bathing for him because he didn't like for me to do that, and understandably so. And some things people don't understand, it's just not in my DNA. I'm a nurturer, I'm a codependent, but you know, I can't deal with, you know, even when my son was little and he would get nosebleeds, I would be standing in the door, did it stop? Is it, you know, I couldn't have, you know, I'm just not one of those people that can deal with people when they're sick like that,
right,
and stuff like that. And people think, oh, well, you have to. But it's like, oh, would you go to an auto mechanic for a brain surgery? You just wouldn't do that. I mean, so it's, some of the expectations were just more than I could deal with, too. I deal with them as best that I could. You know, it's even hard for me to go into the nursing home to see my dad, you know.
Well, it sounds to me like you're recognizing all your problems, which is a good part of it.
It is a good part of it, but just trying to press through them and like I said, not deal with the guilt.
Yeah.
You know.
That should be your mantra, okay? And read my book. It's My Life Too, Reclaim Your Caregiver's Sanity by Learning When to Say Yes and When to Say No. Let the caregiver space.
Visit the caregiver space.
.org. Let that be your support. They've got some smaller groups there on Facebook, the Caregiver Space community.
Certainly
group.
Have daughters taking care of parents.
Yep. I've got my Facebook page, Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver, which is what you're on right now, I think.
Right, yeah.
And my website is caregiverdave.com. It's a membership site, and all my content is there. I've got 5 minutes of Dave's Hammock Wisdom videos. I've got the over 200 of these shows. I've got just everything. So that's called support. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. And look for us next Tuesday, 1 o'clock Pacific. It's a great show. Thanks again for tuning in. And thank you, everybody. Adrian, I think we already gave your website, thecaregiverspace.org, and Adrian at thecaregiverspace.org. And I'm caregiverdave.com. And that's my one-stop shopping. So thank you all for tuning in. We will see you next Tuesday when 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern, and 3 o'clock Chicago Central.
Great.
So bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani.